All right, hey.
So,
okay, we're recording now.
Let's see. Roger, you want to introduce yourself? Roger from the five.
Well, guys.
Not quite, but.
As you can see, the Rush is a transsexual. He has, obviously, he doesn't have his voice worked on. I got you completely, you know, I mean, you're completely confused there, Roger. Or everybody else confused.
Yeah, so I mean,
you probably met Roger at the Rear Studio.
Ah, yeah. Oh,
Barry Ann, right?
Yeah, Mary Beth, yes.
Oh, you're Mary Beth. Yeah, because you're
I'm the one who showed you the Promethea book, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So here I am.
Well, good.
I must tell you.
Yeah, I dragged poor Roger down the hall. I said, oh, you've got to come see this, because we got into a conversation about it. So I was showing him. I had my volume one with me, so he was taking a look at it.
I brought my Promethea book to a non-for-profit that I...
Hey, Joanne, are you back yet?
I'm here.
Am I on mute?
You come in, Paul.
Hello?
Yeah, she announced herself, but I haven't heard her...
Hello, I'm here.
Hello. So you are there. Are you going to be able to do the recording?
Yes, I can do the recording. In fact, I'm doing the recording now.
Has arrived. Hi, Rachel.
Bye.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Hey. Hey, Rachel. Rachel, I got my issue of Parabola.
Oh, see, I haven't got it.
You haven't got it? Well, I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, good.
I said, yippee, Rachel's in Parabola.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations,
Rachel.
Yeah.
I love Parabola.
In the recent issue of Parabola.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's out. I haven't got a copy yet because I don't know why they haven't sent me one.
Well, Ross, what's your favorite?
So I'm listening to A Life After Death. So I did an article about the cars that come after the death card.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I read that somewhere. Where did I read that? In some interview that you gave. Was it in the ATA Quarterly you were talking
Maybe.
About that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. I was going, hey, there's Rachel. I must tell you a very funny story about Promethea. I brought the whole volume, the absolute volume, down to the nonprofit that I hang out with and I volunteer for. I'm on the board also, so, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's my place, my local place away from home, let's put it that way.
Yes.
So we're having coffee around the conference table, and Coney Island is a integrated area, and we have some very fine cross section of peoples here in Coney Island, and it was but you know, certain cultures will never understand other cultures. I had two of the staff people looking at me and the writer of the newsletter, and he's also the development director, talking about sci-fi things, you know what I'm saying, and Promethea came up, I'm showing him Promethea and everything, and then going over, those are two crazy white people talking. No, look at these crazy white people. Can't tell them anything, you know. They shrugged. It was really funny, though. It was really funny. I called them on that. I said, okay, right, I know. That and dancing, right? Okay. But Dancing with the Stars proves opposite.
Oh, man.
So let's
look at the lineup and grab our farts.
Okay, what I've been reading ahead, so we're on chapter 6, right?
We're in the first chapter of book, volume 2, book 2.
Oh, we are. Okay.
Yeah, that's chapter 7. Nothing got done.
Oh, 7, okay.
Yeah, and I have the individual issues here, actually, because...
yeah, I do, too.
I have them all, so I didn't buy the collected one.
Rock and Hard Places.
That was, you know, the cover is, yeah. Has wonderful. You have all the covers, right?
Yeah,
the
they
cover.
The covers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's a true romance cover with a playing game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the other issues, the other publishing, because the Absolute won't be out soon enough.
That's true, but, you know, they're not that expensive. You can pick them up. Mostly you can pick them up used on the internet.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to get good, too.
So the first person we got is, he has a relatively small part, is Dirk Dangerfield, also known as Dennis Drucker. Anybody want to be Dirk Dangerfield?
Does he even say anything, or is he just...
He doesn't say too much,
or is he just talked about?
Roger, since we were kidding you about your gender identity earlier, which you want to be Dirk Dangerfield?
Sure, why not?
Okay, well, I guess let's make you Roger, too. I don't think there's too much of a...
We got Roger for being Roger, that's it.
That's fantastic.
Good luck, Roger. Yeah, let's see.
He's typecast.
And then we have Bob of the Spy. We also have Promethea Bill. Who wants to be Promethea? Also known as Bill. Come on. That's true.
But that's a big part.
I'm not awake this morning. Someone else is more awake, please, because I had a bad night.
Oh, fine. I'll be Promethea Bill.
Okay.
Is that Mary Beth?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Beth.
All right. Well, and if you get tired, why don't you, let's arrange for somebody to be backup for Mary Beth in case her voice gets out.
I'll do it then. Okay. I'll be the backup for me, Bill.
Thank you. I'm honored to have you as my backup.
Yeah, I'll be your understudy.
Got your back, Mary Beth. Right. That's good.
So we got Bob and the clown. And I think the clown and the weeping gorilla are all pretty very, very tiny parts. How about you, David? You're around.
Yeah, I can do one of those.
All right. I'll be the weeping gorilla.
Well, Paul.
Yeah, sure. Now we've got Tris, Nurse, and Stacia. Trish has a very small part. That's Sophie's mom.
I'll be Sophie's mom.
We've already got somebody for Promethea Bill, and then we got Sophie.
Sophie speaks?
Yep, she speaks vaguely at the end. Well, she speaks when she's talking to Bill too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Immateria. Yeah.
And then Major. Mayor Baskerville, which I think is extremely small.
Yeah.
I'll be Benny Solomon. And how about you, David? You want to be chauffeur Ernie, which again is a very small part.
Yeah, I can do that, but I don't see the names are on this on these pages.
Oh, let me tell you, it's taken me a great deal of time to figure out some of these characters at all. Yeah. I could be wrong. And that's as far as I know is the dramatic part persona.
What about the dean? What about the Goetia?
Roger,
take on Roger.
The demons of Goethe
are... Oh, they're in the next chapter. I've been reading ahead.
Next chapter, yes. See, that's something you get confused when you read ahead.
You're right. So,
Well, don't worry. We'll Well, Zach, I'll remember. We'll get you that for the Demons of Goethia for next week. Yeah, very bad.
I'll try to be in my demonic phase next week.
Okay.
Who's going to be Bob?
I'm going to be Bob.
Maybe Bob. Roger, yeah. Roger.
And Roger.
Roger's Roger.
Andrew.
And I think you're the clown, right?
I'll be the clown.
Okay. Yeah.
There's not too. I don't think the clown says too much, and I'm also the.
Very hard. Doesn't say that much. I'm going around the street going, hoopla. Hoopla. I love that expression.
So here's this wonderful Hearts and Romance. We should have read it for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Promethea. And Dirk Dangerfield says,
boy, am I lucky. The perfect girl, and she's all mine.
How can I tell Dirk that I'm not the woman he thinks I am? Was I a living legend, or I'd love cheat?
New York, 1999. Okay, this is a Bob.
Yeah, it's
Bob. Thanks for fetching me down from the high five to the hospital, Roger. Listen. What I said about, yeah, you looking nice, that was meant as a compliment.
Right. Bob, you were staring at my chest. I'm uncomfortable with that.
City episode, we've all had to do some adjusting to do. People have feelings.
Bob, Roger. I don't even want to talk about this. Right now, we have a crisis on our hands. Mars critical, the Peter doll is still alive, and Kenneth's going to pieces.
What's he done now?
He was molesting some unconscious teenager when he was supposed to be guarding Marv. I tell you, ever since his divorce... And then there's the doll. He's almost certainly heading for the hospital to finish Marv off. We need leadership here, Bob.
We probably expect too much from George Lucas.
Okay.
You know,
that's Bob, yeah.
This is Bob.
Okay. So we throw a strict security cordon around the hospital. Nobody goes in or out. If we just maintain a tight perimeter, Marv, we'll stay safe unless you've got any snappier ideas.
Well, let's see. How about we just change all the business stationery to four swell guys?
Hey. Okay, I guess that's still you.
Hey, what the hell is this? Where all these people come from?
And then, okay, so we got, let's look at some of these signs here.
Oh, the signs are great, yeah.
Texture, yeah. Sunny New York City nightmare. But we who you Sunny?
Yeah.
Quit hounding Baskerville. 42 personalities and they all suck. Multiple personnel backs. No, they don't. Mayor Schmeyer. You want control. Wolf. Sunny's dogging.
Oh,
Mayor Bassett trying to up his ratings with a hospital visit. You got any pro and anti demonstrators both turning out for it?
Great security cordon, Bob. The doll could be anywhere in this crowd.
Look, we'll find others work out something out, okay?
Excuse me, I'm Patricia Bangs. They said my daughter was here.
Nurse?
Andrew.
Mm. Is Sophie here? Oh, it's you. What's the matter with Sophie? Have you been giving her drugs?
Sure is. She showed up. Boy, I'll bet there are disappointed sailors in town tonight.
Look, I don't have time for your crap, okay? College left a message and said Sophie had collapsed.
Yeah, she was visiting somebody here.
Somebody interviewed for a term paper, and she passed out.
Oh, God, not that stupid fairy tale thing she kept going on about. I told her she'd end up with a nervous breakdown. Some junk about a woman primordia, something like that.
Promethea.
Should I speak in a very big voice since this is big, Bill? So, you're Sophie. Oh, you are just the most adorable little thing. I'm Bill. Well, actually, I'm Big Bill at the moment. I'm not as deep as Margaret or as witty as Grace, and I wanted you to notice me.
Sophie?
Which one? Am I Sophie?
Who's Sophie?
Somebody's Sophie.
All right. Bill, you mean like William Wolcott, the comics artist?
Oh, bless you. You remember. Strictly speaking, I was artist-writer, but yes, I worked on and was Promethea longer than anyone, 39 through 69. My Promethea wasn't the wisest or the strongest, but I like to think she was the nicest.
Yeah, but, I mean, no offense, but, well, it's like you're a guy. How does that work?
Not very well, a lot of the time, to tell the truth. And I'm not a guy. William Wolcott was a guy. If I'm anything, I'm his imagination. And Bill's imagination was, well, to be honest, Bill was as gay as a spring lamb. Of course, the expression at the time was confirmed bachelor, and Bill was certainly that. Yoo-hoo, Sophie, I'm over here now.
Well, you know, I read a couple of issues.
What about the top?
I guess you are. How do you do that with the size in two places at once and everything?
Oh, well, mine was also sort of the silliest Promethea, always growing to a giant or visiting Toy Town. Actually, I didn't think it was silly. I thought it was playful. It was meant for children.
Well, you know, I read a couple of issues for my college term paper. I really like them. Oh, Big Bill's still back there behind us?
Oh, she'll fade away eventually. So how are you finding the immateria?
It's scary, but I sort of like it. I met Margaret, then Grace. They taught me about stuff, like the importance of being compassionate and the importance of being smart.
The cup and the sword. Good. So what do you know about coins?
You mean like money? Well,
not exactly. You could call them coins or pentacles or discs. They're one of the four magical weapons. Wands, cups, swords, and coins. Fire, water, air, and earth. You're going to need all four elements.
Elements? But you said I needed four weapons.
Four elements, four magical weapons, four essential human qualities. They're all the same thing, in a way. Spirit, compassion, intellect, and physical existence. You need them all to be Promethea or to be human. I was the most human, the most earthly of all the Prometheas. All the girls, actually. That was always my biggest problem. It must be why they've chosen me to teach you about earthly matters, about this, about coins.
Because you were the most involved in the physical world?
Honey, involved isn't a word. I was in love with the physical world. All that flesh and sensation. To me, it was like an irresistible fun fair, a carnival, a roadside attraction.
Come and play the slots. Y'all are welcome.
The mortal
coil. Last stop for reality. Route 32.
Sophie?
Like, what is this place?
Well, we're pretty far along the road that leads down into matter, and this is a kind of drive-through allegory along the way. It's how material existence looks from up here.
All you can consume in roughly 70 years. Oh, taste and see.
This looks more like a theme park than a diner. Don't they have any food here?
Well, they have various kinds of sustenance on display. All the things that keep people going on their way through life. All the things we have a taste for. Life's a running buffet, and honey, I do mean running. Sound like Auntie Mame. So come on, what does Sophie Bangs want on her platter? Maybe a husband? Somebody to love? Perhaps kids one day? It's a very popular choice. Maybe a family would give you the purpose you were looking for. Or maybe money would help make sense of things. Or sex. Lose yourself in pleasure and forget everything else. That was always the big one with me. You could be an intellectual and join the literati. You could be a drunk and join the obliterati.
What if you don't choose any of the dishes?
Why, then, child, you will be hungry. And you will be hungry for the longest time. It's mortal existence as fast food, Sophie. It's comfort eating with love and wealth and fame and happiness. All no more than a sugar rush. It's life, Sophie, to go.
Ba-dum.
Whoa, listen, that was kind of intense. Can we stop this thing for a while and walk? I'm getting motion sickness.
Well, life will do that. We can go to the rest of the distance on foot. The material world isn't far from here. If the wind's right, you can almost smell the sulfur.
We demand best, politics isn't about personalities. Sunny ain't funny. Oh my.
This ought to be good.
But Bill, something bad's happening back in the real world. I can feel it.
You mean in the material, not the real world. It's all real, honey. Still, if you're worried, we ought to hurry back there. Matter isn't far ahead now. Its symbols are all around us. Anyway, it's good you're concerned about the physical world. After all, it's just as precious as the immateria. Sure, matter's the lowest plane, furthest from existence's starting point in the pure essential working that is God. On the other hand, you could see Earth as that working's final result, its ultimate purpose. What's important is understanding that mind and matter aren't separated. They're just different points in one system, different stops on one highway. Changing the world, as easy as changing your mind. It's just that matter's thicker and more viscous than imagination, so it takes longer. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm droning, aren't I?
True love, misogyny, wine chance, income tax. Achieve same for go to jail.
No, really, you're not. There's just so much to understand.
Yes, it can be overwhelming at first. Ideally, you should find a magician who can tutor you. Personally, I always sort of liked Jack Faust. He could tell you all about the spheres, about the 32nd path.
Yeah, I keep noticing that route to 32 signs. What is that?
There's 32 points in the whole system. 10 spheres, 22 paths. Route 32 is the path connecting matter and imagination. In some ways, it's the most important path. Like I say, you should find a magician to help you with this stuff. Or failing that, I suppose you could always ask the snake.
The snake? What do you mean? The ones on the Cardassians? Or, wait a minute, what's going on with the landscape? It's getting sort of hyperreal? And so are we. What's happening? Everything around has diamond clarity.
Grace and Barbara say it's like drugs, but I never took drugs, so I wouldn't know. It's just a 32nd path, taking us closer to material reality, so everything sort of crystallizes.
It's beautiful. I guess this 32nd path has the scenic route.
What things look like isn't as important here as what they symbolize. As for what this path symbolizes, well, it has a name as well as a route number. Some traditions call this path the world. Some call it the universe. The snake is like the spiraling DNA. It represents all earthly life. The moonlit woman is all dream and fantasy. Do you see, Sophie? It's a wonderful dance between the flesh and the imagination. And some call it the universe.
Wow. What are they?
Let's move on. Ahead are more earthly visions, earthly ideas. earthly memories.
Who is he? He's nobody from my earthly memories.
No, he's one of mine. This is Bill Wolcott. When he was a young man, he's drawing Promethea with so much passion that, to his surprise, he can physically become Promethea. Bill hadn't necessarily ever wanted to be a woman, but I guess he'd always wanted to be a goddess. It was so much fun helping people, having adventures, falling in love. Plus, it gave him great material for his comic book. Can't argue with that. There was this FBI man who knew about Promethea's existence. More than that, he fell in love with her. Can anybody see what those balloons say on that comic page?
No.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just me, but, you know.
No.
The affair was very passionate. You have no idea. For the toned-down comic book version, Bill called his FBI agent Dirk Dangerfield. His real name was Dennis Drucker.
Dennis Drucker? Wasn't he the guy who...
Oh, hush. I'll be getting to that part soon enough. Let me enjoy telling you our fairy tale love story first. It was just so perfect. Dennis was seasoned, handsome, and straight. That was the decider, if I'm honest. Dennis couldn't believe his luck. He loved the perfect woman, and the sex was fantastic. I mean, sex with Promethea, and there are really fireworks, hundreds of little blue stars. But the love was better than the sex. It's like a human man in love with a goddess. Every moment we spent together seemed mythical. Every word shivered like starlight. Every kiss was timeless. God, Sophie, he was so great. He was so great. So, anyway, guess what happened?
The business about you, about Bill being a guy, Dennis found out.
Well, you'd better look inside here and see for yourself. But basically, yeah, Dennis found out.
Gallery of Horrors, Sideshow Minstrel Museum.
Oh, God. God, that's awful.
Yes, and what's most awful is that it came out of nothing except our love. That wonderful, burning, holy thing. It destroyed both of us. Take a look and see. It's like Charlton Sennett's affair with Promethea when she was Hannah. These things never end well.
Both of you? What happened, Dennis? To Dennis. Oh, that's terrible. How long has it been?
Nearly 30 years. 30 years bound and pecked at, eaten by his memories. Promethea was everything to him, and he killed her. He loved himself. He really, really loved him.
That poor man, if he hadn't been so bigoted about...
No, don't blame Dad. I'd never told him about Bill. I was being dishonest, and I knew it. It's just we were so happy. Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
You know, you didn't need to show me that. I mean, if I was going to upset you...
Oh, but it was important you should see. You have to understand the dangers of the earthly realm, of getting too attached to it, of loving it too much.
Is it possible to love the world and people too much?
Well, perhaps not. After all, you're Promethea now. You're supposed to bring the light of pure spirit down to free earthbound humanity. To do that, I guess you have to love humanity first. But remember, you're not the first to try touching the mortal clay with the flame of the immortal soul. You're not the first firebringer. Did you ever wonder why our heroine's father chose that particular name for his only daughter?
Promethea? Well, I looked it up and I found it's the name of the species, the Promethea moth.
And the feminized name of another great storybook figure who tried bringing heavenly fire to illuminate mankind's dark earth. All I'm saying is, Sophie, my child, be careful. Be careful. And be warned.
Geez, Ben, the myth about the chains, the rocks, the feasting bird. It's all true.
All myths are true, Sophie. Given that they last longer, they're even truer than the so-called real world. Speaking of which, it seems we're finally here. Isn't this your hospital?
I guess so. It sort of looks like it. Or that crowd of people over there, they're so unreal looking, like us.
I don't know. They look like human personalities, but why should there be such a crowd of them here? I can't imagine. There must be 40 at least.
Well, we've got this multiple personality mayor in New York, but he wouldn't be anywhere around this hospital. Oh, hey, I think that's Mark from the Five Smoke Guys. They're like these science heroes.
He must be very ill. His spirit looks as if it's wondering whether to leave. Come along. This is where I have to say goodbye. Your body's right through that wall. Take care, Sophie. You've got a lot of trouble lined up for you.
I will. Hey, everything's changing again the way it looks. Thanks for everything, Bill. I'll see you soon.
Mother.
Saying I'm a bad mother? Listen, raising Sophie without a dad, you have no idea what that was like.
Trish, you don't have you. Sophie had a new dad every other Friday. Actually, me and the other kids used to envy her.
Well, you little... You know Sophie was fine until she met you. All that death metal she listens to you. Oh, you think you're so...
She's singing along with High Oak Silver lining when you're drunk. You think I say more?
Oh, you think you're so... You're all the time. It's so goddamn smart. You think you are?
Well, you know, I mastered basic sentence construction. But the thing with you, Trish, is you're...
You're both jerks. Now, please, shut up.
Sophie, you're okay. Where have you been?
Look, I'm fine, okay? Just get off me a minute. Oh, you're fine? I came all the way here, and you're just taking a nap, huh? I mean, you collapsed, Sophie. If this is some drug thing like E or K or J or whatever, I want you to tell me. Are you what they call a chronic?
Hey, what the hell was that? The whole place shook.
We don't know. Just stay in your room. It sounded like it came from the hospital forecourt out front. Gee, what happened? It sounded like an explosion.
It was Roger. It was the painted doll. He tossed a teddy bomb into the crowd. Luckily, I took most of the blast, but there's some wounded. Where's Mayor Baskerville?
Who's the mayor?
Who's the mayor?
I'll be there. Someone else is doing it. She's over here, towering as usual. Really, don't be so hard on Sunny. He's upset. Both of you shut up. After all, I'm the top.
The mayor's fine.
The mayor's fine. I'll get him inside to safety. Good. Make sure he stays there. The rest of us better fall back to guard Marv's room. I've got a feeling that the next hour is going to be busy. This is Ernie. David.
Yeah, Mr. Solomon, that explosion, was that something you did?
No, I have no idea whose that was. Still, I won't be allowed to mess up the contract, not this time. Hand me the aura goggles.
Sure. And this contract, I guess you're sending a lot of your guys, right?
This little bitch maimed two of my best guys. She made me look bad in front of the temple. So, all things considered, that should pretty much answer your question. All of them, Bernie. I'm sending all of them.
Great.
Next to shoe. Guys and dolls.
So this visually was quite different.
Yes.
It seemed to take off and change. Mr. Jim, I wonder, were there two graphic artists this time?
You know, it's good. The person who did the realistic parts, the sort of photographic-looking parts.
Right.
Was that the same? It seems to be true, even though it's done, you know, with more shading. It looks like it's the same style as William Gray. Okay.
And the Prometheus even has eyes in one
Well, actually, it says here in the front, J. Alan Moore, the writer, says J. H. Williams, and then it says J. Villarubia.
Ah.
J. Villarubia might be the person who did that section.
Right.
Well, the digital sequence is Audrey Castillo, played Promethea and the Universe.
Ah.
Sophie Banks was played by Jeannie Lovato.
The photograph.
Was played by Douglas Baines, and Dirk Dangerfield and Dennis Strucker was played by Tom Burke.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what they did. They did photographs and they, you know, transferred it. Interesting.
Which is definitely an interesting visual take, you know, sort of like with the comic view, we're sort of like somewhere in between pure imagination and the material world. And when they push her into the material world, they do this this little hyper, they make it hyper realistic for a while.
And also, it looks like a video game or something you would see on some sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or TV show.
I think the world card was spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's directly taken from the Top Tarot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From Crowley and Harris, I think it's, you know, based on that. But how did they stage it? I mean, those are photographs. They must have staged that somehow. It's quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Photoshop, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a composite. It's definitely a composite of shots, and then they cut and paste them together.
Yeah.
Because you can tell by the lighting is different.
Since we're moving around a little bit, the world card is the one where you have a woman embracing a snake, and then you have a man pouring out of a bull-headed man, a lion.
It's pretty beautiful, John.
Yeah.
And then the Prometheus card is obviously based on it, the way they staged that one, where he's chained, you know, the chains are like snakes. And then instead of the eagle being in the corner, it's coming to eat his liver. Which is interesting, because I never thought about the connection between the image of, you know, Prometheus on the rock and the world card in the tarot.
No, either had I.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's very well done.
Right. Yep. The chains. Should be.
And then the way, what's his name? Dennis Strucker is tied up in chains, so to speak, in the mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good point. Yeah, it's true.
It just keeps going.
So one of the things that, you know, reading this over, that's so apparent to me is that there seems to be this really this issue that's raised in the story about Sophie going crazy. Because they keep talking about it, and they keep showing images, the idea of insanity and the danger of it. But they never do it. I mean, there's never any part in which he, even for a while, goes nuts. So I wonder if, I mean, dramatically, it always seems to be a weakness, you know? I remember when I read these as they came out, and I was thinking how, so I was really hoping it wouldn't turn out that all of this wonderful stuff was just, you know, someone being nuts in a mental hospital.
Some psychotic vision.
Yeah, but then, in fact, they just dropped the whole subject.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which seems kind of, you know, dramatically weak. You know, you always say that, you know, there's that famous line from, I think, Chekhov, the Russian playwright. He said, you know, if somebody walks on stage with a gun at the beginning of Act 2, it has to go off at the end of Act 2.
Yeah.
And they just talk so much about the danger of her becoming insane that you'd think that they would have done something with it, you know.
Well, I have a meditation from a ceremonial magician that deals with the 32nd path, and it's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And it does allude to the possibility of insanity.
Okay.
So,
if everybody knows, the 32nd path is on the Tree of Life, and it's the one that runs from the ninth circle, Sephiroth, to the tenth, which is our world.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and so it's the world card.
Whoever said our world was sane?
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and whoever.
What kind of nonsense is that? I mean, just look around. Is this insanity?
Yeah.
All you gotta do is listen to the news to figure that one out.
So, you know, the dangers of going insane, I think the world has, you know, quite.
There's another way of looking at this issue of sanity, specifically as one of the major themes here is the elements, and we're talking here about pentagrams or the pentacles, and what it is that there needs to be a certain balance in the working of magic and the working of the tools, and if you only rely upon one or two of them and you ignore the other ones, you get an imbalance that leads to basic kind of insanity. And I think that the reason that the Prometheus are so concerned to, you know, make sure that she gets all of her tools, and this will definitely come up in the next one where the whole Prometheus chases her down, is really important because this is where she is going to have to maintain her sanity. And she, in some ways, hasn't fully invested with Promethea herself because Barbara's still alive. Barbara's Promethea.
Yeah, she does, almost like she doesn't want to step on her toes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, So in some ways you can see this whole, the whole thing that we've been seeing so far is sort of the initiation of Sophie Bangs into becoming Promethea.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think at this point she is still very, I don't know, in a research phase, I think, still, even though she has actually become Promethea a few times, I think she is still viewing it as something totally outside of herself, you know, something that is not real in her particular realm of existence.
As somebody else, too, that's Promethea.
And I would say that, and that's sort of ditto's through the idea of the integration of the elements.
Yeah.
You know, she's integrated with the emotions and integrated this. Now she's integrating the material world with this.
Yeah.
And I guess the next one's going to be, what's the one that they haven't done
hospital
yet?
Hospital battle.
Wands.
Well, it's the wands that still have.
Well, I think that she herself that does that because she doesn't go to any other Prometheus. They just go into the battle. I have a comic, so it has the blurb for next issue. I'll read you what it says. Sophie's apprenticeship at Promethea comes to an end, and she finds herself tested by fire. There's a wand.
Uh-huh.
In the form of the goetic demons of Benny Solomon. And those all-time favorite science heroes, the five soul guides return with a spine-tingling supernatural spectacular.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which it kind of is, really. You know, all those characters.
Yeah.
All those things. Yeah. It's really, it's for those who look at it, it's like, you know, it's the big action issue. It's the issue that probably has the most, you know, comic booky kind of, you know, battles.
Mm. Yeah, with all kinds of Batman type of pow, wham, bam.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
But after that, it starts getting more intellectual again.
Yeah.
As a wonderful all tarot issue and then a sex issue.
Yeah, well, I guess so. There's the big battle one, and then of course she has to take on the temple.
That's right.
And part of taking on the temple is becoming conversant with magic.
Yeah. That's later, isn't it? I think she actually doesn't take on the temple for a few issues.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're behind it, she doesn't deal with them for quite a while. That's a wonderful issue, actually. When she takes on the temple, it's very unexpected. It's very different than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, I expect to see the temple as... As when I was a kid, I was getting into the occult. I was, all the theosophists I met were all in their 70s and
80s. Right,
so that's kind of... I didn't expect you. I'm going to go to this, cult. There, you walk into their room, there isn't anybody there.
I guess that's a more experience as well, yeah. I guess that happened to Alan Moore, too.
Some of them I was able to actually talk to and listen to. They were open enough to where they had stories to tell. Well, that was definitely an education that I now that they've all gone, you know, it gives me a sense of continuity.
Now you're the old geezer. Oh, did I say that? No.
Well, one of the things that I noticed this in the, in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, was that the metaphysical bookstores in San Francisco were very heavily inhabited by women over 40, which, you know, by a guy who's in his 20s is not an interesting age for women. Usually not interested in women quite that old, so the, but the, And I wondered about that, and as I got to know some of these women and heard some of their stories, I noticed that a number of them had taken the glamour that they had had, or their allure that they had had as a younger woman, and as they grew older, they turned it into this metaphysics. And I almost to the point where I almost see that as almost a rite of passage, that some women definitely go from, you know, being that that thing that all these guys are chasing around when they're in their 20s and 30s, and as they pass into their 40s and 50s, and the men are showing less attention to them sexually, become more and more interested in metaphysics as a way of deepening their own sense of power and personal significance.
And then there were those of us who were born 32 and a half, you know, so that
doesn't apply.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the same way. You know, there weren't a lot of 20-year-olds running around in these
yeah.
groups. You know, I was something of an awkward anyway, you know. one of the things we were going to do that we kind of promised ourselves before we would questions and would be to look specifically at the pictures.
Yeah.
So we go back and to the Promethea hearts and pink flower situation, which of course brims with
romance novels. Yeah.
Yeah, the romance novels.
And that's sort of what Promethea Bill was saying about the world, the romance of the world,
yeah.
loving the world and the people. So this is like a Valentine to the world.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
That's very nice, yeah. Remember when I was a kid and used to love comics, and pretty much all kinds of comics. The only ones I didn't care for were war comics and romance comics. I think they were just like too one-dimensional, you know? They're all like...
I remember, I never could get into the romance comics.
Yeah.
And again, the war comics were just too...
The Westerns were too great. The Westerns at least had some character, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, Dandy, like the Dandy comic books?
What
kind of
one?
Dandy.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
That was an orphan boy in Italy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From World War II.
Yeah.
I briefly remember that very early on.
Romance comics were always such a formula. They were even more formula than, you know, superhero comics, it seemed to me.
Well, that was the only one I know.
One of the interesting things about the South Tower Hospital, which seems to be almost for the first part of this comic, if we're anywhere physically in the world, we're at South Tower Hospital.
Yeah.
We've been there forever, you know.
Right.
And seemingly, it's a tower. It's a skyscraper, according to
Well, you know, I think that's kind of interesting anyway, what you said, Paul, because in my mind, having worked in hospitals, to me, a hospital is a little microcosm. It is its own little world. So it's a real good metaphor for the world, you know.
Well, they do that. That's one of the conceits that, for instance, detective novelists use. They'll structure the mystery, the murder, the theft, whatever, in a hospital, in a university setting, that's a popular one, a club, a ladies' club, a gentleman's, you know, going back to the show.
A small English village, yes,
right,
the microcosm of the whole world, yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Right. But it's very interesting because we were talking about sanity or mental health versus insanity and poor health, and it is a hospital, and the hospital is thematic, very thematic. Cool, good point.
Yeah.
So when you ask, when Rachel brought up the part about, you know, she never really has the nervous breakdown. It doesn't end with that kind of cliche. That this is this all this wonderful stuff has been this madness. The backdrop of the hospital always keeps that tension going.
And also, I mean, in a way, a hospital can be perceived at least as a safe place, you know, a haven. Maybe that's why she doesn't ever go insane, because so much of the action actually takes place in a place of healing. So, I don't know. That's a stretch.
That's a good point, too. Healing. A healing place as well as a place where you go when you're sick.
One question for you, Cynthia.
Yes.
Mayor Baskerville has 42 personalities.
Right.
But again, that's one of the master numbers, isn't it?
No. 44 would be. Yeah. No, not 40.
44.
The meaning of life, universe, and everything from Douglas Adams' novel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The answer to everything. Yes, whatever the question was.
And they say, what is the meaning of life? You know, and the computer finally answers 42.
There you go. Okay. Well, I wouldn't have known that. That's
well,
very
42,
interesting.
42 adds down to 6. And 6
right.
Is the balance.
And 11.
Yeah. Is balanced, and then he's unbalanced. He's more than 6. He's
and
42.
It's 7 times 42, which is the chariot times the lovers.
Yeah.
But also, it strikes me, you know, 32 is the tree of life, right?
Yes.
So if you have another 10, then you're having like the sort of the, you know, the shadow tree.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's sort of like, you know, the tree of the husks, whatever they call it, the capitalist.
The shells, yeah.
Dark side kind of thing. So maybe the 42 includes the dark side along with the, you know, the regular tree.
Ooh. Which definitely seems to be the case when, I think the Goetha have a hard time with all the personalities of, in fact, I think they decide to invade him, didn't they?
Yeah.
They hide down in him or
something.
Yeah. So, Pathos is supposed to perform Tikkun healing, so the hospital is a very apt.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very apt.
If we turn the page from where Big Promethea is, where her Big Bill Promethea was the clock, and we have this slow transformation. And if you turn the page again, you see that there's diamonds and hearts are in the background.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm. And the chalice
and
right here.
Flying heart to become the eyes, and then you have this diamond, carved like diamond in the thing, and you have the pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the pentagram is the diamond, you know, and of course you have cups showing up in the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one, the clover.
Yeah.
Ah, thanks. I didn't see that. Yeah, there's the wands, and there's also the swords.
Where's the sword?
Where? I saw the sword, but now I can't.
Right by the pentacle.
Right in the middle of the page.
On the edge of that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Are the elements.
The eyes are interesting on the sky.
Yeah, and it's sort of like on their roller coaster. It's sort of on this.
What would the eyes be, do you think?
Or bumper car.
So what? The sword is what? What playing card?
Spade.
I don't see the spade.
Yeah, it's there. It's right next to the hill.
I have to go. Someone just shut up. Sorry.
Hi, Rachel has left the conference.
No.
Bye, Rachel. Yeah, the spade is up there right at the top by the hilt of the...
Oh, there it is. I'm looking at the light as opposed to the dark.
Yeah.
I get it. I see it. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the first time I've seen that, so it's a bit interesting to notice that that the elements are being... And in some ways, this is some of the major teachings about, you know, you've got to keep your sanity. You have to have a balanced understanding of the elements, and they're not just physical elements. They represent a sort of psychological, emotional balance.
Well, and you know, it's not even just a matter of sanity. Like that's nothing. But also, for her to be effective, she has to be able to employ all of the elements.
Yeah, physical well-being. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
The headlamps on the car, the cup, looks like the lemnis cake.
Wait.
Oh, yes. I see what you're saying there, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, what you're saying there.
They look like, I'm sorry, like what?
A lemnis
cake, symbol for infinity.
Oh, yes. I just didn't understand what you said, but yes, I do see that. They do.
And there seems to be like a little fairy image below
mm-hmm.
that.
Uh-huh. And actually, there's one at the tip of the sword,
yes,
too.
Yes, even more so, yep. Well, in my version, anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
So let's flip the page again. And I guess now what we're getting is we're sort of getting all that you can consume in roughly 70 years.
70 years, yeah.
And we have money, mm-hmm. and some mice are sitting on his pile of money.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how we're used.
Yeah.
And now somebody consuming knowledge, there's Sophie Banks consuming
yeah.
knowledge, the knowledge consumer. I can, you know,
yeah.
I think that's why I see women wearing glasses so sexy, because I think they're going to be intellectual.
Okay,
let's see.
What's the hobo? What's the homeless man?
He's probably a drunk.
And he's probably a juxtaposition to the miser.
Well, yeah, he's oblivion. He's living...
Yeah, he's oblivion. The obliterati.
The obliterati, right.
He's probably like on Skid Row, you know, a drunk or a drug addict down
mm-hmm.
on Skid Row. I like the house with the white picket fence and the flowers, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's sort of the Dick and Jane character.
Yeah, so. Yep. And then the Queen of Hearts at the very end.
Mm. And it's all a bumper ride in Coney Island.
Well,
Coney Island of the mind over here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
And it keeps bumping along the way. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the funny thing is, as well as we're approaching realities, or not reality, a material world, you can almost smell the sulfur.
The sulfur, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting comment.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
In the tarot, you don't get a lot more material, at least in the majors, you don't get a lot more material than the devil, you know, so there's
mm-hmm.
the sulfur for you.
I like the top hat, almost like the Mad Hatter
yeah.
type of...
Well, I think this reminded me, if I'm thinking of this right, yeah, those are the playing pieces from the Monopoly.
Oh, right.
The top hat, the iron, the race car, the dog.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't played Monopoly in many years, but now.
Oh, you skipped a page, okay.
That is a good point. That is a really good point. And then the next
And then the photographic.
Page.
Yeah.
Well, no, we go to the next page. We have the elevator scene in the.
Oh, the motion blur scene with the
yeah.
clown.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
the motion blur scene.
Kind of like
then there's the car scene, and
mm-hmm.
then there's the.
Now, who's this clown, really?
Doll. Huh?
Who is this clown? Who is he supposed to be?
He's a painted doll. He's a... I think Rachel might know. Well, I should ask her next time she's here.
As a character, he just showed up. He wasn't really developed much.
Well, I think that it relates to some other. I think something rather strong character, the Tom Strong, it's America Comics, which
mm-hmm.
is a parallel comic. I think they're more developed than that.
Now, were the five swell guys in that also? Because obviously the painted doll is kind of their nemesis.
Yes, that's where I think. So I think that what it is that you had this other comic book series that was being produced at the same time as a sort of sub-commentary on what's happening in Promethea. I haven't tried to get any of the Tom Strong comics from this period to see if that was actually true. But it's a good possibility.
The painted doll is the one who has injured Marv. Mm-hmm. I'm taking that from the, what's mentioned sort of in the little bit of backstory that we're getting
right
here. So he's obviously, they've encountered him before.
Mm-hmm. He's like a, just a, an all-around bad guy for everybody.
Yeah.
He's
the
just
a bad guy.
He, I mean, he doesn't care whether he offends the temple.
Part of the five swole guys after he kills one of them. So they try to
well,
integrate the shadow. And
very democratic of them, you know.
I think it's interesting on this page too. You got that tower.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Solomon is coming into the picture. I think the tower is going to crash somewhere along the line.
You know, you're oh God, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of folded in the middle of the page here.
Right.
Right. And what's the big E represent?
The E.
Yeah.
E on the tower.
Earth?
Oh, I think that's emergency. I think that's part of
yeah.
the,
okay.
of the
yeah.
hospital.
Yes, because you
that's
have the conducers there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The figure of the right looks like a caricature of the Prometheus.
That's an awfully big hospital.
Erection.
It's what?
E for erection. It might be, well, no, direction. Obviously, it really
works. Hey, I heard the same thing.
It is erect.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, remember, I was Bill. I was very early.
Actually,
I'm sorry.
Actually,
I'm so
that does give a whole new meaning to this hospital thing, you know, in terms of
school. Leave it to Promethea Bill to come up with that one.
Right.
Because there's also what looks like a W on it, but that wouldn't make sense. You don't have east and west next to each other. Not in the normal world, anyway. Yeah. No.
Well, that figure looks like it's in Promethea to me. It looks like it's a feminine figure that's moving upward.
Yeah, either that or a giant amoeba or something climbing
yeah.
the tower. Yes. It is.
Then I think that we have some of the great lines here. The snake is the spiraling DNA. It represents all earthly life.
Yeah.
The mood of the woman is all dream and fantasy.
Yep.
And so, you know, so this is the, you know, this is the world as the, you know, as the connection between the imagination and the.
I think it's interesting that Promethea Bill says twice, some call it the universe. I wonder why that's repeated. Because
that's the name of the top deck.
Right.
That's the name of the card on the top deck is the universe.
Okay.
In regular tarot decks.
Yes.
Throw the spirit calls of the universe.
Yeah, and in the first time she says it is in quotes. So, you know, and then the second time it's not. So that's kind of,
I think it's a teaching device, actually.
Uh-huh.
I never remembered that the four animals on the card, or the human being and the three animals, represent six signs in the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It also represents the vision of Ezekiel in the,
mm-hmm.
in the chariot vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's got a lot of so that means a lot of all this Merkabah mysticism can work in there. In fact, in terms of Merkabah mysticism, the whole idea of the chariot card, the bumper cards, could be a version of the chariot. In terms of moving through that.
Four gospel writers too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't think the Golden Dawn was much into Merkabah mysticism as they were.
No, we didn't know much about it at the time.
No.
There was very little known about it at the time.
Right. But it is interesting that there are 16 Zoes. And the chariot, of course, is associated with the tower card, number 16. There's lots of reasons to see that Merkabah mysticism, the whole chariot thing, falls nicely in with the tarot, you know, if you don't look at it from a strictly Golden Dawn point of view. But I don't think Wald has ever implied that Merkabah mysticism was at play in the tarot. or Rachel.
Not consciously.
No, I brought it up to Mark.
It might be something that is still to be developed.
Certain analogies can be made, but it would be a direct deviation away from Golden Dawn. And I haven't, they haven't taken any kind of leap away from that. But I think the Toth Tarot, also with the 16 core cards, it's sort of, you have to wonder. If you look up the 16 Zoes in Wikipedia, it's very hard to find, but I think I have the link. It's very interesting because it has to do with the wheels of Ezekiel's vision and so on and so forth. So,
well, the other one who does the Zoas is William Blake.
Yes, he does
the
Zoas.
Four Zoas, his system is not necessarily derivative of any other.
There is a small book on Blake and the Kabbalah. Where some of this is mentioned, but he was more of a Swedenborgian, and he was into all of this, so who knows what he knew or what he had come across. Perhaps he even knew a Kabbalist functioning in London.
Well, I mean, he was friends with Thomas Taylor, who was the Platonist who did all the...
Right. He was very much a Platonist, Blake.
And, his own imaginative system was definitely taking on specifically the materialism of Locke and Newton.
I think Ed Byrne has a beautiful Blake Tarot.
Yeah, it's
throw the imagination. I have that.
By the way, that's that was done by Mary Greer's ex. You can still get it. You have to contact him directly. He may still have a few for sale, but you'll have to contact him directly. You can through the internet and still pick up a copy of the William Blake Tarot.
Yeah, I got it a couple of years ago. I think on eBay, actually.
Do you use it?
I look at it a lot, but no, I don't read with it.
It's extremely well constructed based on this mythology of William Blake. Back to Promethea. What do we have a central question or issue that we want to inquire about as we move into the consultation phase of this?
Where we ask Johanna to throw the card.
Right. I'm shuffling.
Yeah.
So let me know what you want to cover.
We have a question. Anybody have a question of mine?
Yeah. The question that comes to my mind is some insight on how to achieve and maintain the balance of all four of the elements.
Yeah, because there's a lot. I mean, if you look at just the visuals, there's a lot of suffering portrayed in these.
Yeah,
in the suffering and violence.
Yeah, and there is the major story, which is the transsexual story it works in our minds. It can work, and yet some of us are so tied to the quote material world that we can't loosen up. And some of this issue, of course, we don't have much characterization of Dirk Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Or Dennis Drucker in terms of cross-sex identity issues that men have that women don't seem to go through, which is that you start out identifying with your mother, and then in order to be male, you have to disidentify with your mother and identify with your father. But that makes your masculine identity issue always less stable than the primordial mother image. And there's a variety of ways that they can work out the ones.
Okay, so what's the question? About the elements?
How are you supposed to learn from the song of the world?
Oh, wait, no. So somebody had something about balance.
Yeah,
my question was, what do we need to know about achieving and maintaining balance among
That's
the four elements?
Yeah, okay. Okay,
is there a trick to this?
Right. It's a trick question.
Is there a hint that we can have? You know?
Is this a trick question? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got two things going there, maintaining and achieving. You want to just take one?
Well, that could narrow it down, yes.
How about achieving balance?
That sounds good to me.
We have to achieve before we can maintain, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's...
Okay, I'm cutting the cards.
Okay,
do you believe my prompt poem was entitled Balance for Thursday? How weird is that? There's been so many synchronicities lately. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I'm curious about now is... What's the question?
How do we achieve
balance among the four elements?
Okay.
Well, this is interesting because...
It always is.
I don't know how in the world I would read this, but here we go. In the air, in the placement of fire is the Ace of Cups.
Wow.
Okay.
So already we have the opposites.
Yin, yin, yang, yep.
Mm-hmm. In the area of air, no, water, I'm sorry. In the area of water, we have the Knight of Swords.
Okay.
And he is the most sword of the swords.
Mm-hmm. The Nine of Swords?
Knight. The Knight.
Knight.
Oh, Knight.
He's a master never, yeah?
In air, we have the Knight of Discs.
Okay.
And then in earth, we have the Ten of Cups.
Oh. Well, we've got it nicely mixed up, don't we?
Yeah.
Wow. Look
satiety.
At this.
It's a card called satiety, according to the in the toss deck.
I'm sorry, what was the card?
Ten of Cups.
Ten of Cups.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Satiety. So we have like a journey. We're given this great paradox juxtaposition in fire. Quench your fire with water, with the intention of love, and then to be a warrior through water and air, which are the most immaterial of materials.
Right. You have
and
to
then
well,
in earth.
Yeah. You have to have the passion to be a warrior.
Right.
Feeling.
And then in earth, to be the most loving and to always sort of be satisfied.
Uh-huh.
Now,
oneself satisfied.
The hidden motivation is the Queen of Wands.
Oh, wow.
Queen of Wands?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the outcome is the Princess of Wands.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's a creative process.
spoke about this. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Now,
I have a question, Johanna. You're saying the knights. These are the top knights, right? So they're actually the king.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wanted to go back to the Ace of Cups as our starting off with the fire. And you know, the Ace of Cups is, represents the source of the soul. So in some ways what we have here is we have the, in the sense of, also the Ace of Cups represents the deepest mystery of love in its profound sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the motive for existence. You know, if fire is the first element of the yod, the reason that there is fire in the first place is because of cups.
Because of love.
Because of love, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, fire doesn't happen without love, as it were, igniting it, even though. And then, of course, the thing we have is we have such a predominance of quartz.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Look at this.
And high quartz, but we're talking about
kings. You know, knights, which are kings of the system, but the
they're consorts. The queen. The queen is the highest.
The queen is the high. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's so interesting is the Princess of Wands and the Queen of Wands, hidden motivation and outcome, is real. That's Promethea.
Yeah, it is.
She has the caduceus, which is a wand.
The wand.
So
yep.
We're talking about the world of immateria.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, how do we achieve balance amongst the four worlds, we have to use our imagination.
Yeah. And I think
creativity.
I think the princess also indicates an outcome that. It's interesting to me. The queen, which you would think would be the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Really isn't. That is the hidden motivation. But the princess, the openness, the innocence of the page,
mm-hmm.
is what really the outcome will be. The more you know, the more you will
to be a student
of
the world.
Yeah.
Right.
The more you achieve, the more you realize how much you have to achieve. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no end. It's the journey that's the important here.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the arc of influence?
Okay, very interesting. Six of Discs.
Okay.
Five of Discs and Queen of Cups.
Wow, back to the cups.
Right.
Yeah, and
generosity.
Yeah, six of discs is the success.
What are the keywords on the top deck?
Yeah, the six of discs is success. The five of discs is worry.
Uh-huh.
And the queen of cups is the queen of cups.
So it's funny, with all the success, you have worries to maintain your success.
It's always a balancing act.
Right.
It's not.
We can't achieve it, we just have to keep trying to.
Yeah.
But there's another way of saying it. It's sort of like in dancing, you're always falling down.
Mm-hmm.
In
That's
the sense
true.
That you have to stay. There's a thing that says you must stay in motion.
Uh-huh.
That and this as an outcome in terms of to achieve balance amongst the four elements. The elements are always in motion, and so the way you have to achieve motion is to stay in balance amongst them. Is to adjust constantly.
Keep moving among. Them. Yes.
Which too bad. Interesting, no major arcanas came up, did they?
No.
Nope.
No.
In this
read.
That is very interesting.
Of court cards.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, in itself, is...
Yeah.
Once I get my statistical tables all worked out, I'll send
we'll figure all that out, huh? Yeah.
But getting all the
that old 60-strong locomotion, doing the locomotion.
Yep. This is really... I don't think we could have asked for a better reading because, I mean, really, to me, the answer is very clear. Paul nailed it.
Yep.
You cannot ever achieve balance. You always have to be continuously striving to achieve it, and that is the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also showing that realization is a process, not a state.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a condition
right.
that you have. It's rather a process that you can or cannot maintain.
Right. You know, it's funny. I have a tagline on most of my emails that says life is a process, not a product.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of fits this very well, too. You know,
yes.
It is a process. It is not a product. You're never going to achieve it. The best you can do is continuously try to achieve it.
Hey, Roger, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
We haven't called you out yet.
We're just curious.
No doubt about it.
Any insights you want to share about our discussing
the cards?
The cards and or the story.
No, I love that. I love the whole balance thing. You know, you never attain it, you have to achieve it. Yeah, for the most part, this is my first time today. I'm just kind of like seeing how the whole process works with all of you. And
Are you familiar with the spread that Johanna is using?
No, I do not know that spread.
Okay.
I gloss it. If you look at the email you get, down at the bottom, I tell you where you can get this. What's the name of the spread again?
The Elemental Power.
The Elemental Power spread?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can see it there, and you can also, she did a two-hour MP3 that you can listen to.
Okay. I'll do that.
By the way, Paul, a little housekeeping issue. For some reason, I am not getting your emails.
Ooh.
You're not getting? Who is not getting my
email? Mary Beth is not getting your email.
All right. Well, let me have your email address.
Okay,
see if it's right.
M.E. Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N, 5-1.
P-I-T-T.
M-A-N, 5-1. @gmail.com.
Email. Okay. I'll check.
I don't get them either.
Sherry, you should be. Oh, what's your email again?
Well, I have 50 million of them, but...
Yeah.
Why don't you send Paul an email? It's easier if you send Paul an email.
I know for a fact that I have an email for you, for both of you.
Now, I mean, I do have an alternate one also, but either one should hit my inbox because, you know, they're both set to do that, so...
Yeah.
But I'm not getting them.
Let me look quickly. Well, Mary Beth, it looks like you're not on here. That's why.
Well, that would explain why I'm not getting them, huh?
Yeah. I've got Maria Baez, Sherry doesn't look like you're here either. So,
we're stepchildren, Sherry.
I know.
Send Paul an email so he can just.
Send me an email and I'll.
Email address is.
PNAGY. At
hermeneutics.com. Can you spell hermeneutics just so I know I've got it?
You could do it at WordTrade. It may be easier.
Yeah, you could or you could do it at mindspring.com, but this is the same front, PNAGY at.
Okay. Is it HERMENEUTICS hermeneutics? Yes. I mean, with tarot in the front of that? Yes.
E-U-G-I-C-S, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Listen, I got a hit on this spread, too. I want to talk about it for a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Johanna, you talked about this being Yod, Hey, Vah, Hey in that order, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Going from right to left?
Yes.
And to me, when I pull that card, the Ace of Cups to me is always about connecting to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the open, being an open channel to spirit. And since fire is about spirit, that card seems very appropriate to me. And to achieve balance, you have to be open to spirit.
Well, there's even in the chapter we read, remember, the union of opposites was not there because the opposite was Promethea in the imagination of the author and what's his name, fell in love with the imaginative part, and that drove him crazy because he thought he had obviously homophobia. But that was it's interesting that it came up even in the layout, the union of opposites, the alchemical process.
Uh-huh. Okay, let me continue. The second card is the King of Swords, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, and that's in the water position.
In the water position.
And that's the emotions began. And to me, the King of Swords is about the will to transcend where one is. And mm-hmm. So in the case we're looking for balance, we want to transcend the disruption we're in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the third position is air, which would be swords again, and that would be the Knight of Discs. By the father who was the King of Discs, King of Earth, and the King of Earth to me is all about gratitude, and it's about giving back of my own being to the higher source. And so in this particular case, it speaks to me that speaks very well. To get balanced, I have to be grateful, right, for what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to the last card, which is Earth, and that's the Ten of Cups, Ten of Cups is called, in my deck, the Fountain of Love, and that speaks to it very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be appreciative of what you have at the earth plane, and don't ask for anything more, and you'll receive a balance in life. So the spread spoke very well to me.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
And again, the emphasis I would put on is the human element. That in some ways human beings, as the court cards in the tarot, represent the intermediate point between the austere spiritual archetypes at one level and the material world at the other level.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah, and it's the human being. You would say that it's these 16 cards represents, you could say, the perfect human being. In fact, you might even want to say that the 16 cards represents Adam Cadman.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I had considered discussing that as part of, but I didn't want to get too much into Adam Cadman with the time spread I had been working on. But the arc of influence, I find it to be an exegesis.
Uh-huh.
The
Princess of Wands.
Yeah, the Princess of we have one, two, we have five cards that are commenting on the four elements. So that's an interesting setup, Johanna, that there's sort of like the fifth element.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Type thing is coming into play.
Definitely coming into play.
In the spread.
Right.
Well, the hidden motivation, what do you say about the hidden motivation? The Queen of Fire, the Queen of Wands.
Passion.
It's about connecting with spirit.
And the magical aspect of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That the world is magical. And that to keep your balance, I think you need to know that, you know, you're dealing with the magical. You know, never to let the stars go out of your eyes.
But there's also a progression of the six, which represents, which is bright. You know, it's the success, the power of abundance.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it's this bright mandala.
Uh-huh.
And and then you have it ascend, in a way, into the five of discs, mm-hmm. which is anxiety and worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got the abundance, and then you worry about keeping it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like hubris. You cannot have hubris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is an element of humility that has to always be thought of. You know, I can't, that's one of my favorite words, is hubris. I mean,
yep.
We all are guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
One time or another, and we think that things just fall into place, and they don't.
No.
They just don't. No matter what, there's always a payback. I mean, it's a great story mechanism also. You know, it's... But the Queen of Wands as hidden motivation, she is there with a gigantic wand, and she's holding or petting... or controlling, depending upon how you want to look at it, the animal within, the animal, the leopard.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't have my deck in front of me. Is this the queen that's sitting on a pineapple, or is that, no, that's the queen of earth.
No, she has a pineapple-type headed wand.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like you're looking up at her. I mean, she's higher, she's on a higher vantage point.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, the panther looks like it's not too happy with you there being there. It's straightforward, looking at you, almost like ready, very on guard, you know?
Ready to pounce.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's...
Well, she's like the leopard is her guardian.
Yes. Yes. And you need to just realize that these are things, if it's the hidden motivation, that means that there's an animal instinct that we have to be wary of or control, lest we offend it.
She correlates to the strength card in a way,
mm-hmm.
animal nature.
Yeah.
More so than in the weight deck, where it's a black cat.
Yeah, right. That's a pussy cat compared to this right. one over here.
Yeah, but it is a black cat.
Right.
And even back when Pixie Smith was doing it, you
mm-hmm.
know, black cat had
right.
that idiomatic negative association.
The other thing is the progression of the Queen of Wands as five and the Princess of Wands
yeah.
as six. Is that in some ways we're there's an emphasis there, you could say, of a kind of regression, a kind of that the hidden motivation, since you know the Queen of Wands is on is the top of her game,
yeah,
and the Princess of Wands is, you know, experimenting with her game.
Right.
So there's a kind of almost a deliberate forgetting going on here.
Yeah. And again,
and that also might be the issue with the six and the five of discs.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a balance between those two entities, between the,
yes.
the Princess
yes.
of Wands and the Queen of Wands. There's a balance in there. And we're talking
uh-huh.
about balance in the script.
It's a balance, but it's an interesting balance because, as I said, it's based on. It's not based on the progression of youth to age. It's from age to youth.
It's again, I think it is. It shows the cycling, the cycle. You have to keep
right, I agree.
Moving. You have to keep making yourself new all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's renewal might be the key.
Yeah, because and also the tiger. With its tail around the princess's neck, it's almost like getting the creative spark taking over, and also the fire pit over there, or the fire column. It's like to let the creativity in your life become forefront. And the just the creative process may bring you the balance you need to achieve, though it's a risky process. Many people don't like going into that area.
yeah.
of their psyche, the creative area of their psyche. They'd rather just be in the obliterati.
Yeah, the obliterati. I love that term. I like
well,
the
now the other thing that's interesting is that is the Yahi, the elemental spread, is missing the element fire, and yet its hidden motivation is fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
And its future outcome is fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like the fire. Inside of fire is, and then of course then we have a preponderance of cups, ace and ten, which again is, ten is, yeah, it's sort of like, this is like the fire within the transformation of water, you know, that goes through, air and earth.
You know, 10 returns to 1, the ace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some very interesting symmetry.
Ace and 4.
Yeah.
But the spread overall is balanced. It's got all four elements.
Yes. Yes.
And the 6 of this, the 6 of earth on the arch, that's balance. That's beauty. That's in the center of the tree of life. And the 5 of discs speaks to being in the pit sometimes. And the Queen of Cups says, take care of yourself, nurture yourself.
And it would seem that the least used element is swords.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obvious. It's in the ward, swords
yeah.
in the water position there. But but otherwise, it's not present.
If you think about how to maintain your balance, you can't.
You'll lose it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It has to be proprioceptive within the body.
Yeah.
So
right.
you, thinking doesn't help you.
Well, so
I think that's part of the.
I think
here.
You know how Sophie's going to handle the Goethe, the howling next week. She's got to stay on her tippy toes.
And with that teaser, I'm going to have to get off here. So you guys, thank you so much. This is great. And as usual, Johanna, there's magic in your fingers. You just need to pull the right cards.
It's the spread, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, I think so. Well, listen, you guys, I will look forward to talking to you next week, and I'll look forward to getting your emails, Paul.
You're still not present. You're going to have to send me an email.
I did.
Okay, you did. All right.
All righty. Bye-bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Matt.
So, there's no reason...
Mary Dev
has left the conference.
There's no reason to stay on for 2 hours if we feel that we've completed our conversation.
It was a good day today. I thought Mary Beth and Cynthia did a masterful job reading this today. It was very clear.
Yeah,
a lot of times
I was
disappointed, but today was fine.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I had a sore throat yesterday, and I was wondering whether I could even speak today. I feel very
great
grateful
job.
That it went a lot better.
Good.
So are we pretty much wrapped up for the day then? Anybody got anything they want to say?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're wrapped
up. Well, I'm glad those who are here are here. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Has left the conference.
Paul, okay?
Paul. Yeah.